Go talk to the geniuses that are online.
Recorded before the Patriots-Dolphins Monday Night Football game, it's time to Belichick Your Premises. I'm your host, Justin Amosdeski, and if you know someone who would enjoy having their premises checked, send them our way. We always enjoy rational football talk, because that's what this show is all about. Joining me in the premise checking, Daniel T. Richards.
It is December football at its finest. What a week of games, including a game that I saw and I wanted to be at immediately, that Buffalo game. Oh, boy.
That is someone who has never been to a snow game live. That's what that is.
No, I want to go.
We'll get into that in a little bit. We'll get into the Buffalo-Indianapolis game. But first, I have to ask you something.
Mm-hmm. Ask away.
Do you know what day it is, Daniel?
Game day!
It's game day! Took me a minute there to cue the music. That is my I just started my pregame playlist for everyone out there who's wondering.
That's right.
You might have to speak up a little bit now, Daniel. I didn't really hear you when you said that's right. What? I can't hear you. I have music playing. It's actually playing very quietly.
That is right.
So do you think I'm crazy, Daniel, because I have things I do before every game?
Yes. But it would not be only because of that. That just adds to the mystique of your insanity.
Can people just, like, stop making that joke? Like, I'm like, do you think I'm crazy? People are like, yes, but what context are you talking about? I get it. It's a funny joke when people ask if they're crazy. No, I was specifically referring to pregame rituals, because I'm guessing you don't have any.
I have no pregame rituals. I have, I guess it depends on how you define ritual. Every game day, I wear something Patriots related on my person. Today, because it's a work day, I wore my Pat Patriot lapel pin to work and got a lot of shit for that. And I said,
really?
Fine. 11 and 2.
Shit?
11 and 2.
What'd they say?
No, just everyone in the office, you know, oh my god, I can't believe you're a Patriots fan. You know, that football with Pat Patriot looks a little underinflated, you know, that kind of stuff.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Welcome to, like, 2 years ago, people.
Exactly. 11 and 2. That's all I kept saying. 11 and 2. 11
well,
and
I did
two.
Wear a blue shirt today because I can't wear my jersey at work, but I always wear my authentic Brady. And under it, I always wear my T-shirt from the first Super Bowl. The front says, if you didn't believe, and the second says, don't talk to me, or the second. The back says, don't talk to me, and it, of course, says the score of the first Super Bowl against the Rams. So I always wear that, and I don't wash anything till the end of the season, which means usually I'm wearing a shirt till February, which kind of is bad.
Weird. Weird. I don't have any rituals like that. I'm curious, is this something like that you developed as a child and it kept going into adulthood? Did you decide one year, like, I'm going to do rituals? Did you have a few and then, like, tacked on some several years later? Like, clearly you didn't grow up with an iPod.
No. So it started with the jersey. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to wash my jersey all season. And I just started to do that. And especially after I got... So obviously, the T-shirt I didn't have till after the first Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So I think it probably started after that, where I was like, wow, I have this awesome T-shirt. I'm just going to wear it every game day. And I'm not going to wash the T-shirt or the jersey till the end of the season, because it makes me a participant in this season. It makes me more involved. All of my experiences in the season are in the shirt as I'm wearing it. It's like I'm part of the experience. And then the music came much later, because, like you said, I got an iPod eventually. The story of how I got an iPod is best left for another day, but that's a very funny story that involved many people on my college campus. And then it's just music gets me pumped up. And it was just a way for me to get more pumped up. It's not like I think I affect the game. It's just a way for me to enjoy the game more. And that's the difference. Like, a lot of people think, like, the things they do influence the game. No, fuck that. It's just it helps me enjoy the game more.
Yeah. Interesting. So you don't... Yeah. So, like, some people think, like... So, like, my aunt is a big Blackhawks fan. You know, Bears country, Blackhawks country. And she has this thing developed this year where she thinks if she watches the game, they will lose. And if she doesn't watch the game, they will win.
That sounds like the worst kind of fandom ever. Like, I'm such a fan that I can't watch the game.
Well, like, she'll follow the game on her phone and she'll, like, refresh the game like 1,000 times, but she won't put it on television.
Yeah, but that's not the same. Like, I mean, I follow the Red Sox on my phone, but I don't consider myself like a hardcore Red Sox fan. Like, how could you be a fan without watching the game? That's just the irrational levels people go to that just piss me off and give fandom a bad name.
Yeah. I love my aunt. She's awesome. She's a great host, but I was like, you could just watch the game. She's like, no, they'll lose. I'm like, oh, all right then.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had that thought, like, the Celtics are winning a lot this season, and I watched a game, and they started playing poorly, and I was like, maybe I should just turn this game off, because they're trying to, or they're playing poorly as I'm watching. And then I was like, wait, that is the most narcissistic thing you've ever thought, Justin. Shut up and watch the game. And then they won the game. So it's just like ascribing too much importance to yourself, right? Like, I don't affect the infield product. The most I affect the infield product is, like, 1 in 60,000 when we were there in the AFC Championship game.
Right, exactly. So what is it, shortly, you think, about the human mind, the human psychology, the human experience that makes us intrigued by these rituals, that even if we don't take them seriously, we do participate in them?
Well, like I said, for me, it's enjoyment. And I think overall,
sorry,
that is the same thing as everyone else.
And my dog is freaking out.
He must have been a Dolphins fan.
Until I started recording this podcast. Sorry, continue on. Shut
all
up,
right,
sir.
Xerxes.
God Emperor. Ruler of all things the light touches. It's hard for him to take it seriously when I call him by his full name.
Remember, Xerxes, we can prove a god can bleed.
That's right.
I just threatened your dog on the podcast.
But
no, I think it's a being involved. So, I mean, you could argue that there's a lot going on here as far as sort of, you know, Karl Marx called religion the opiate of the masses. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're young and everyone plays sports, there's a productivity there, or where you're involved in a lot of things where you're productive when you're young. And then that goes away as you get older, right? You get stuck in these shitty jobs where you're not really doing anything and you're not really influencing the world. So maybe this is people's way of feeling involved, like they're part of the team, right? It's the whole we thing.
Hmm.
And I think there are healthy levels of it. I mean, it's certainly a community, right?
I think that's definitely a part of it. It's a tribe.
Right. And there are healthy ways to have a tribe and healthy ways to have a team. It's interesting as a Patriots fan because I understand what people say negatively about most Patriots fans. So even though I am a Patriots fan, I don't like most of them. So it's weird to be part of a tribe you don't really like, although that kind of defines my whole life. Welcome to the midside.
Yes. Although I will tell you that it was quasi-refreshing when I spent some time in Boston to walk around and just have my Patriots hat and hoodie just sort of blend in and not have any response to it whatsoever. That was fun. I like that element of tribedom. So.
Yeah, it's probably worse for you because people don't really care about football out here. It's not really football. It's not LA and California, they're not really sports areas to begin with. I love when they pretend to be sports fans. It's like, yay, we're Lakers fans. Yay, we're Kings fans. Yay, we're Ducks fans. I'm like, you guys don't get it. Or my favorite thing, this is a huge tangent, but my favorite thing is like when they talk about how awesome USC tailgating is. And I'm just like, really? I like, just come with me to Clemson on a Saturday for football. And you will just shut the fuck up about USC tailgating forever. But they're always like, oh, no, it's as good. It's as good as Southern tailgating.
Yeah, we bring our foie gras and our our rosé, and we do some tailgating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I go to them, I say, so you're telling me there's just, like, red everywhere, and people are just parked everywhere tailgating. And they're like, yeah, around the stadium. Fuck off.
Around the stadium. Oh, God. So this week was not only filled with some awesome football, which we'll talk about, but also some depressing football, as officiating continues to be a fucking disaster. I don't know if you watched the Thursday night game between the Saints-Falcons, but that was essentially a game in which the referee said, "Falcons, here you go, you shall have a victory," and there is nothing the Saints can do. So much so that Coach Sean Payton actually ran out onto the field at the end screaming at the referees and ended up getting a penalty because of it, because they were just missing so much against the Saints and calling so much against them on the other side. So,
well, you know it's bad when the coach just gives up. That was a give-up penalty. Like, there was still time on the clock and they could have gotten the ball back, but he was just so angry that he just basically gave up. He was like, "I would rather lose this game and yell at the refs than to actually have a chance to win it." And that's when you know it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I've been talking about, where I've been saying we need to have some accountability on the part of the refs. Where is the media holding them accountable? Where are the teams holding them accountable? We can't. They're too protected. So this is what you have to end up doing.
It's a thing where, like, especially this offensive pass interference obsession this season, it's now in the past, it was always like, you throw a pass, it's incomplete, and people look around to see if there's going to be defensive pass interference sort of every time, and especially the wide receiver wants it called every time. This season, it is literally a feeling of, I don't have an objective measure for when I watch a pass if there is some amount of interference, whether it's going to be offensive or defensive pass interference on that play. And so what happens is, and this was happening in the Saints game, was happening in the Seahawks game, the ball is thrown, end of the play, no catch, and everyone turns toward the ref to see if they're going to throw a flag. Everyone. Coaches, players, everyone in the stadium is just staring at the ref to see if he's going to throw a flag. Especially because so many flags have come in fucking ridiculously late this season for offensive pass interference. It's become a nightmare to watch, actually. It's not fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I am with every score, right? Everyone celebrates. They're like, "Oh, this is so exciting. We scored a touchdown." And I, like, wait for, like, 5 to 10 seconds. And then I go, "Okay, there are no flags." And then I go, "Yes, we scored." Like, because every time I get super excited and I'm like, "Yes, touchdown," they're like, "Pass interference on Gronk." And I'm like, "God damn it."
Yeah.
So you can't get excited. And it completely dampers your emotional interaction with the game, because you have to be this reserved Bill Belichick whenever anyone scores a touchdown. You can't even react. You just have to be like, "Okay, that's what Brady's supposed to do," and move forward. Like, the only thing I can cheer for anymore is defense, really. Like, a big defensive stop.
And the thing I've noticed more this season, by the way, more than any other season, maybe not at all in past seasons, is a flag is thrown, and then the refs huddle up together, and then they come out and tell you what the penalty was.
Yeah, it's like a replay review every play, except the replay is in the different refs' heads, so they're arguing about their perception of reality.
Right.
Every play.
So, watching the Tampa Bay game, who are they playing? Tampa Bay and Detroit. Like, there was a play where they were trying to determine if it was a catch, fumble, and recovery by Detroit. And they initially called it on the field a catch. And then Ed Hockula came up and said it wasn't a catch. And then they huddled together again and said, "Okay, it was a catch, but he was down by contact or whatever." And then they changed it a fourth time. They changed the one call 4 times on the field. And then when the play was over, it ended up still being Tampa Bay's ball, and Detroit's coach was like, "What the fuck?" And he threw the challenge flag, and they're like, "What are you challenging?" And he's like, "All of it? Everything that just happened?
Miami Dolphins, they suck." Sorry, tradition.
"Can I just challenge your existence, Ed Hockley?" Like, and it ended up being reversed again. So the call was changed literally 5 times when you're watching the game. What the fuck is that? You don't get to huddle up and decide what penalty you're going to call and then change it and then change it and then change it. You make a call. If it ends up being wrong, someone challenges it and it's fixed. Like,
I mean, this is all what I talked about with the full-time officiating. These are the growing pains of the full-time officiating, because now they have like this language to speak with each other, because they're learning all week how to call everything properly and what the deliberation process should be. So they're creating this language and this process for the refs, and they're on catch-up mode, right? Think of how like the 2-minute offense is for any team. It's because they've spent how many years as a league developing, and how many years has the play developed? Well, the officiating hasn't developed alongside it. So now we're seeing like officiating that's archaic for a non-archaic game, and it's just, it's completely incongruent and it's retarded.
Yeah, I was initially very optimistic about the full-time refereeing, but man, it's going to need to get better super quick. Because it's getting intolerable. It's getting to the point where the referees are a third team on the field, and that should not be the case. As we've talked about on the show a lot, the rules should be there to facilitate the athleticism, not to hinder it. So,
yeah, and I mean, they've always been the third team, and this is just kind of bringing it to light. And there are deeper cultural issues about relativity and the role of justice and judgment, and it being an arbiter. So there's a bunch of issues here, but it's definitely, I think, growing pains. And I think hopefully it will get better with a full off season for them to look back at what they did and everything. Cause I am goddamn sick of this offensive pass interference. Talk about costing a team a game. Yeah. The fucking Indianapolis Buffalo game. So this was a game that was super close the whole time. It's snowball, as you were talking about.
Yeah.
Nobody could score. They finally score a touchdown, and then Jacoby Brissett throws for a two-point conversion, and there's like, what, 3 minutes, 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter? And they call offensive pass interference. So not only does the 2 points get wiped off the board and it's a 7-6 game, but then Vinatieri has to kick a 43-yard extra point in the snow. Now, we all know Vinatieri and his history in the snowball, but even that kick curved in.
Yeah.
It looked like it was wide, and it curved in. That's the tie to the game. And then the fucking third-string Bills quarterback throws an interception, and Vinatieri has a chance to hit another 43-yard field goal, this time to win the game, and he misses it wide left because the other one hooked too much. It was just an insane game that the officials really took over, because the Colts had the momentum, and they were winning that game all the way through overtime when there was like 3 minutes left, and Joe Webb just hucked the ball up, and the Bills player somehow caught it. And you could see at that point the Colts quit. They were like, fuck it, we're not going to win this. And then like the next play or two plays later, McCoy ran in for a touchdown. And as a Patriots fan, it was so just like, man, we could have won the AFC East without playing. And that would have been so nice, and it just didn't break our way.
It was rather disappointing to see that ridiculous, ridiculous offensive pass interference call. It was glorious to watch the game in the snow. As I've always said, that is how the game should be played. Man, I want to attend a snow game so bad, so bad.
I'm shaking my head right now. It's just like, you would be so cold, you wouldn't even know what to do.
The trick, I suspect, is that people dress warmly, but they do not dress waterproof. And that's really what you have to do, is make sure all of your clothes have a plastic lining to them so that you are not wet.
Yeah, we have no experience for snow games in New England. We have no idea what we're doing.
I'm just saying, people end up wet, and thus it's cold. I don't think it would be cold if you dressed with some plastic lining.
So the game, you know, we went to first,
Justin,
right?
In the AFC Championship, yes, game was fucking cold, but it was because it was raining.
Uh-huh. That wasn't even that bad. I was like, oh, this is comfortable. I enjoy this.
Yeah.
No, you know what freezes first in hypothermia, right?
Your blackened heart.
Well, that's already cold. We already know that. But no, your blackened toes.
Yeah.
That's what goes first, and that's what the hardest to keep warm is in a fucking freezing cold game. So be looking forward to that.
I can't wait.
You know what else didn't go the Patriots' way, though? And I want to ask you about this because I'm terrified right now, and I want to ask you if I'm being rational or not and what the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the Steelers looked like they were going to lose. I mean, they gave up, what, almost 31 straight points to the Ravens and somehow fucking came back and won that game?
Yes.
Like, it's just ridiculous. And they're finding ways to squeak out wins. games they by all means should lose. And I want to ask you, is this the same thing as when the Broncos won the Super Bowl a couple seasons ago? And what I mean by that is they were squeaking out wins, and we kept saying there's no way they can keep winning. And they did it all the way to the Super Bowl, and they had a game in late December versus the Patriots in Denver that would decide the AFC Championship game, the home field advantage. And then they won that game on a bad penalty on Gronk, remember? So this goes back many seasons.
Yes.
And then in the AFC Championship game, they won by 2 points. That's clearly because of home field advantage. Now, the Steelers are doing the same thing. They're eking out wins. They should, by all means, lose these games. They're getting the wins. And they play the Patriots in late December in Heinz Field in a game that will probably decide home field advantage. Am I being too narrative right now? Am I being too much of a writer right now? Or is this a life pattern that I'm identifying? Because I'm scared the same thing is going to happen.
So there is something to be said about teams who find a way to win, right? We've talked about that before. But in terms of sheer talent, the Steelers may have that talent on offense, although it doesn't seem to always gel. It certainly has not gelled for 100% of a game yet this season, so that sort of is a little scary. But on defense, they're not the Broncos, right? They're not this dominating defense that can hold you to under 20 points. They allowed Joe Flacco's Ravens, one of the worst offenses in the league, to score 38 points. Now, they still won that game because their offense scored 39 fucking points.
Well, Roethlisberger threw for over 500 yards.
Yes, indeed. So their sort of, you know, their triplet of Roethlisberger, Bell, and Brown is an incredible combination.
The Killer Bees!
What's that?
They call them the Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees, there you go. Ben, Bell, and Brown. Oh, I get it. Mm-hmm.
And last night they kept going, maybe we should add Boswell. Let's add Boswell. I mean, the Sunday night game.
No.
It'll be Sunday night when you listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they have the potential to be deadly in offense, but their defense is really the thing that I don't think is going to allow them to go as far this season.
Well, especially with Shazier out, they could not stop the run in that game against the Ravens at all. That guy Collins ran all over them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to be able to stop the run, and I think the Patriots will have a good chance. Now, here's a little more optimism for you. Let's say they do eke out a victory at home in Heinz Field, and we have to play them again in the offseason. My dog is insane. At Heinz Field. Someone looked at the stats the other day of, like, Patriots losses to a team that they lost for previously in the season. And there's something like 42-7 with Brady and Belichick in that scenario or something like that. Like, they just don't lose twice to the same team in a season. So, let's say we do lose. I'll take our chances. I think the Patriots are better adjusters than any other team in the league. So,
you say that, but then they lost twice in the same season to a bad Broncos. I wouldn't say bad. They had a really good defense, but a Broncos team with a very bad offense.
Yeah, they did have a bad offense, but they had an incredible, you know, history-making defense. I think we underestimate, in fact, how good that defense is, historically speaking. So.
Right. So basically you're saying we shouldn't be worried because we actually have the Patriots have the defensive advantage over the Steelers. That they're, you know, they haven't given up more than 17 points in, like, what, 9 weeks here?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I actually think they probably will give up more than 17 points to the Steelers, but I don't think the Steelers' defense will be good enough to stop Brady at all. So
I'm going to make a prediction based upon what you're saying.
Yep.
I think the Patriots will come out with a run-heavy attack to try and slow down the game and keep the ball out of the hands of that Steelers' offense, and it might actually be a low-scoring affair. Lean on the defense and lean on the running game to slow the game and shorten the game. That's what we may see from Belichick.
Sounds like a good plan. The other thing is, of course, historically speaking, Belichick has pretty much had the Steelers' number his entire career. So
yeah,
it's a thing where it's like, you know, sometimes you just how to game plan for a team or for a coach maybe, and I think there's a lot going for the Patriots this season. So
And that's what I will say about Roethlisberger and the offense that I saw in that game is, one, he didn't look like he was on the same page as his receivers. There were a few times where he looked very frustrated and he was pointing like, you should go in a certain direction instead of the one you went in. Mm-hmm. And then there were also times where he just sort of threw the ball up to Antonio Brown and was like, ah, catch it. You're fast and good. And it just, they seem to have a very simple offense because of that. And simplicity is death against the Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're simple, we'll find a way to stop it. So.
Yeah. I mean, they do have a boatload of talent, right? Jesse James was catching a lot of balls in that game. Whereas if you cover Brown, you cover Bryant, you cover Bell, there's too many fucking bees on that team.
Per
you cover all of them.
Capita, to use that phrase. The most talented team in the NFL. Now,
I think that was a sly per capita joke, you fucking piece of shit.
It was. Most talented team in the NFL. But that does not necessarily mean that those talented people can work together as a unified whole. It's a game of individuals working together. So that's been the Steelers' problem the entire season, is they might be good, but they're not cohesive.
Yeah, they might be good, but sometimes it seems like Ben Roethlisberger is the only one trying to play the whole game, and he just gets frustrated. He's like, how am I dealing with these people? And you understand why he almost retired.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think we got a good shot. It'll be a great game, especially if we make it all the way back to the AFC title game, except that I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be the Steelers and the Patriots in the AFC title game.
No, I don't think so either. It's definitely not.
Look at the performance from
the Jaguars.
Yeah, absolutely. Holy hell.
Anytime you can get the Seahawks to devolve into their thuggery, you know you played a good game.
Yes.
I mean, Michael Bennett was like going for people's knees and punching people. And then that, who was that player who went after the fans? Now, look, the fans should never be throwing shit at other players, at the other team's players. Like, Jacksonville, we understand you're good now, but get your fucking fans under control. You didn't have fans last year. Now suddenly your fans are throwing shit at people. Like, calm the fuck down, guys. Yeah. Jesus. You have one good season. Let's see what happens next year. So that should have never happened. But at the same time, when you're a professional athlete and there's like a mob against you and like you have security and you make millions of dollars, like, what are you trying to climb into the stands for? Like, this isn't a pro wrestling angle.
Yeah, the Seahawks do not deal with humiliation well. And it was a close game, like by score, 30-24 Jaguars. But man, did the Jaguars just frustrate the Seattle offense, especially consistently in that game. And they are fucking scary in my book. So.
Yeah, they're a very good team. That's just the reason I'm not too scared of them is it just comes down to quarterback play. Mm-hmm. Like you put our defense against their defense and then you put Brady against Bortles. I'm going to take Brady all day.
Yeah, so that's the team in the AFC that scares me a little bit, as well as the Steelers. Of course, the fucking Ravens could still make it into the playoffs. They're sort of in control of their own destiny, and they are always a goddamn sneaky team.
They hate the fuck out of us, so they play out of their minds against the Patriots whenever they play.
Yeah, so that's another one to consider, this potential Patriots destroyer.
But we have to win this hat and T-shirt game first. Win the division, beat the Miami Dolphins before we can worry about any of this. Let's not look past this game that's going to start in a few minutes here.
That's right. Tom Brady, historically not that great in Miami. It's the heat, I think. He prefers the cold.
Don't remind me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michigan. It's funny, a California boy went to Michigan and plays in New England and plays better in the snow. That's really funny.
Yeah. And, the Dolphins, while not a great team this year, are not awful. And they do play the Patriots rather hard, very physical. So it should be an interesting game at the very least. I'm excited, though. I'm excited. It's getting to that point where, like, I would say, like, maybe last week or the week before, I sort of hit, like, my football stride where it's like, okay, things are going well. There's still some football left, but we're getting into the things that matter. Everything's important. And now it's sort of like, I'm going to start missing out on football here pretty soon again. And I watched the Army-Navy game because I was like, I just need to pack in all the football I can.
See, now you know why everyone watches bowl games.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Because it's just like, it's going to be gone.
Like, why does anyone need to watch, like, the PennySaver.com Bowl? Because they're afraid football is going to be gone. That's why.
The Tax Slayer Bowl.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What you've done is you've learned from me how to be... Remember I talked about Teams Peak?
Yeah.
Well, Fandom Peaks, too, and that's what you're looking at right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
What you're going to do is you... When you have a team that's good, you hit a second win in the playoffs, especially if you're a Patriots fan. Like, right now, it's like peak fandom, and it's like super exciting. These two games, right?
Yep.
The Dolphins game and the Steelers game are super exciting. And then after then, there's kind of a lull. It's like, okay, let's just play out the regular season. We know all the seeds. Then it'll get to the divisional game, and as the game's going, you're just going to get super excited again. And if you lose, it's like the ultimate blue balls. But if you win... Then your dick's, like, so hard for the AFC Championship game. Like, that is the cycle of fandom.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
But before we go, I think we have to say a little bit, one thing, and pour out our drink for another fallen soldier.
Yeah.
Tragically, Carson Wentz's season has ended. Just like last year, where everyone was talking about David Carr and how he was going to be so great. And it was the Raiders' time. Now everything was rolling for the Eagles, and Wentz tears his ACL just as our boy Deshaun Watson did. So
can't
it's very
that.
Tragic. I went to Clemson. It's not racist.
Can't say it. It's racist. Yes,
he's
that,
literally our boy.
It's a thing where I don't care what team they're on. I don't want to see talented people injured. It sucks. And Carson Wentz, by all accounts, is a good human being and does not deserve that.
Wait, let's not go too far. He's a ginger.
Well, he has no soul. Doesn't mean he's not a good human being. And here's the thing about the ACL tear, which is people are like, oh, yeah, he'll be up and at it, you know, by the end of or by the beginning of next season. It's like, it's December. Like, an ACL tear is like a 9 to 12 month thing.
Yeah.
And he might miss the beginning of next season. As one doctor was tweeting about, you know, the Adrian Peterson miraculous recovery, he literally said, like, he's a specimen of a human being. Like, you should not expect this kind of recovery with everyone. So, I hope he gets better soon. I hope Deshaun Watson gets better soon. The difference between these two, by the way, Carson Wentz was playing when he tore his ACL, so it's like huge everywhere and this huge impact. Deshaun Watson, in practice, tears his ACL, sort of disappears from the map entirely. Have you seen Deshaun Watson do anything? Like, talk to media or anything? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I follow him on Instagram, so I see his Instagram story, so that's a different case, so... He doesn't really, that's part of it is he doesn't do anything. Like, honestly, all he does is train. Like, a month after it happened, he was like, one of his Instagram stories was like, back on the bike. And I'm like, wow, dude, like, you are a consummate professional. No wonder you've won so much in your life. It made my respect go up for him. The only negative thing I can ever say about Deshaun Watson is he likes thoughts on Instagram and they show up in my news feed because of it, in my Instagram feed. I have these random thoughts. And I don't mean like I'm thinking random things. Go Urban Dictionary that one. I have these random thoughts in my Instagram feed. And I go, why are these women in there? And I click on it and it goes liked by Deshaun Watson. I'm like, God damn it, Watson. Study the playbook.
You mean it's not like Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's worse than that. I don't know. They're pretty on par with each other. But yeah, no, very tragic what happened to Carson Wentz. A hit right on the knee. To see the season ended like that, they still have a chance with Foles, but, like, as I said, what really determines if a quarterback is great rather than good is how they succeed in the playoffs, and Wentz had his chance, and now it's gone, so it's very, very sad.
Yep.
All right, if people want to gloat, depending on what happens to the Patriots in the next two games, or they want to celebrate with you, where can they reach you?
At... Daniel T. Richards on Instagram or the Twitter. Total non-anonymity for me. You can also look me up on Facebook.com/DanielT. And yeah, hit me up.
And I am on all the social medias on the mid side. So we're talking Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. You can reach me there if you want to talk shit or just insult me. That's usually what happens on any of those platforms. Send me a dick pic, not what you think it is. If you listen to the main show, you would know what that means. Dumb internet comment. Send those to us and send those to me, and we can use them on the main show. Welcome to the Midside. If you want to listen to Welcome to the Midside, you can go to themidside.com/podcast. Or if you're already in our iTunes feed, too many eyes. If you're already in our iTunes feed, just click on one of the other episodes, not titled Belichick Your Premises, and there you will find our main show. We've got the year-end show coming up soon. So join us for the season finale and then join us for next year. We're going to, of course, keep this show going through the end of football season, though we will be taking 1 week off for the Christmas holiday because we don't want to record on the Monday of Christmas or the Tuesday after Christmas. It's just like we'd rather spend time with like people who are important to us. Sorry, listeners, not that you aren't important to us.
A late bye week.
Yeah, we need our bye week. Fuck you. We need our bye week.
That's right. Gotta rest up for the playoffs.
Playoffs. Yeah. All right. So we really appreciate it. As always, thanks for checking in with us. But right now, we're on to the Miami Dolphins and then the Pittsburgh Steelers and then the Buffalo Bills.
My face, your face, instant face, go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff.